Growth rates have caused central banks like the US Federal Reserve or the EU's European Central Bank to take action to stimulate their economies. Usually they'll do this by cutting interest rates, but interest rates are already near zero. Central banks are trying out new methods to help out the economy. First, there was quantitative easing, and now negative interest rates are popular. But with economies across the globe stalling, are these methods ineffective? I asked Michael Potter from the Centre of Independent Studies what the central banks are trying to do and how this has worked out. Trying new innovative methods of stimulating the economy like quantitative easing and negative interest rates. Can you just explain what these two things are?
Well, okay, quantitative easing and negative interest rates, they're sort of related concepts. The idea is that there isn't enough investment and spending in a lot of countries, particularly in Europe, and so what they need to do, what the central banks are trying to do, is to stimulate the economy. Quantitative easing is basically where the central bank buys assets from the financial market, so it's putting money into the economy through by just buying assets. Negative interest rates, it's quite an odd concept, really. It's where the central bank, the equivalent of the Reserve Bank, people lend it money, but then have to pay money to them. So you're like the Euro Central Bank, the ECB. If you lend money to the European Central Bank, you have to pay money to them to lend money to them, which is quite an odd concept.
So what makes these two methods different compared to conventional monetary policy?
You're not going to be doing this when you're having a situation where, you know, interest rates are positive. So it's what happens, you have to do this if interest rates are around zero. You need to look at alternatives. The traditional approach was if the economy is not doing well and inflation is low, then you lower interest rates. But the previous thinking was you couldn't go below zero. Now the thinking is, well, you actually can go below zero. So that's when you end up with the negative interest rates. And then quantitative easing is sort of another way of dealing with a problem of not being able to go below zero. Yeah, so it was thought you couldn't go below zero, but now the thinking is actually, yes, we can go below zero. You can't go enormously below zero, but you can go a little bit below zero. And that's what several central banks are doing around the globe, or the developed world.
Why have these central banks resorted to these measures? You mentioned that the existing interest rates are near zero, but why exactly have they gone below zero?
Well, it'll be a combination of two things. First of all, inflation is low. You see interest rates going up when inflation is high, and you see it going down when inflation is low. So the prices are not going up by much. People's cost of living is staying stationary or even reducing in some cases. So inflation is under control. But then on the other hand, you've got really slow growth. Most of Europe and most of the developed world is not growing very well at all. So the concern is that with a combination of low inflation and low growth, something needs to be done to get the economies going again. And so basically, if you go back, this has all started with the global financial crisis. That was the original place where this all started. A lot of countries, sort of excluding Australia and the US and a couple of others, most developed countries have been doing pretty badly since the global financial crisis.
So have these measures been effective in any way?
Well, it's a hard one to say. It doesn't look as though they've been effective, but the thing is, would things have been worse if they hadn't done them? So a lot of the countries with, you know, Japan, the Euro area, they've got zero or negative interest rates and their economies are not doing well, but they might have actually been doing worse if it hadn't been for negative interest rates and the quantitative easing. It's actually a bit hard to say. There's a lot of debate about this, and I think it probably has been beneficial, but not greatly beneficial.
I want to just ask, because there's a lot of debate about whether the central banks and monetary policy have become ineffectual. So I'm just wondering, particularly given the light of these two things, I'm just wondering what your take on that is. Are central banks becoming ineffectual?
Well, you'd have to say that they have become less effectual, to use the term. They're not as effective as they used to be. It used to be the case if you had an interest rate of, say, 5%, then you could cut it to 4%, and you get a lot of effect from that. But now that you're around zero or below it, the central banks, there's not a lot they can do. They've been trying this quantitative easing, but the growth hasn't eventuated. They've tried negative interest rates, growth hasn't eventuated. So it looks as though they're not as effective as they used to be. I don't think they're completely useless. It's just they don't appear to be as effective as they once were, and so that's why people need to be thinking of other ways to deal with the situations they've got. There's another idea which, of course, comes up, which is maybe the government should be spending a lot more. But a problem in a lot of countries, particularly, say, like Greece and Italy, they don't have lots of money for the government to spend. The governments are actually heavily indebted, so they don't have the scope for the government to spend lots of money either.
Well, you mentioned government spending there, but some governments, they're using central bank bonds to help their situation so that they can borrow money.
There are a range of ways of which you can put money into the economy. Quantitative easing is one, but there is another one, and I think this is the term called helicopter money, where you actually get the government using the central bank to put money into the economy. They're all sort of ways of doing a similar thing, but it seems, you know, broadly quantitative easing and the government putting lots of money into the economy, it just doesn't seem to be happening in a lot of the developed world. It's not all of the developed world. I should emphasise that Australia, we're actually doing pretty well. We've sort of escaped a lot of this, which is great.
Given that the global economic growth rate is still anemic, is there a strong case for central banks to continue on with these experiments?
Yeah, I'd say there is a case for doing it, but it wouldn't be strong. And of course, there's an important point, which is that Australia, we don't actually depend upon growth rates in Greece and Italy and Spain nearly as much as we depend upon growth in China in particular. And China's actually not doing too badly at all.
So what do investors generally think about the roads that the central banks are going through? Do they disapprove or do they accept the situation, even if it's begrudgingly?
Yeah, I think there will be a lot of investors who are pretty unhappy. The investment return you're getting on lots of investments is going down quite dramatically over the past decade or so. Bonds in particular are really low yield rates, but alternative investments, so like rental yields are really low. The price of housing has gone up, but the rental yields has gone down to really low levels. So the yields you're getting on lots of assets are really low, and central banks are one of the main causes of this. And so a lot of investors are pretty unhappy about this. So that's another problem which the central banks have to particularly take into consideration. They're helping borrowers, like I've got a mortgage, so it's helping me, interest rates being low, but it really doesn't help people, say, like self-funded retirees who have to rely on rates, on return on their assets, and the returns are quite low right now.
Michael Potter from the Centre of Independent Studies ending that report.